Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. Kathy's Legacy Foundation is committed to inspiring dreams, changing lives, and reviving hope for those affected by domestic violence. Their concern is not only for the victims and their families, but also for their pets. Joining us this morning is Kathy's Legacy Foundation co-founder and executive director, Jenny Sharbarth, and San Diego Humane Society communications manager, Nina Thompson. Welcome, Jenny. Welcome, Nina.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Great to see the both of you. Thanks for coming out this morning. Jenny, how and why did you start this organization? What's the backstory? I know it's a personal thing.
In late 2010, Kathy had indicated that she was going to leave the person that she was with for a variety of reasons, and she did, and she moved into a Carlsbad condo close to us. And for 10 months, she was happy. Life was good. She was running her business out of her home, and she was very active at the school where Madison attended, her daughter, and she was happy. And 10 months later, she finally met somebody and started dating him, and within a very short time, her ex started stalking her. She knew she was being stalked and followed, and she took out a restraining order against him, and 10 months later, he murdered her. And it was Thanksgiving Day, her 34th birthday. So it just kind of, everything just opened up.
And Kathy was your daughter?
Kathy was my daughter.
Okay. Right. And was she being abused prior to her leaving?
There was a lot of emotional and verbal abuse, but no physical abuse. The first physical abuse was when he killed her.
And he stalked her?
He stalked her. Once he found out that she had met somebody new, then he started stalking her. Voicemails, text messages, emails just streamed day and night. And he was waiting outside of her condo in a car, laying low. And she told her neighbors she was being stalked, and they were very vigilant for her. And the night before Thanksgiving, she had this person over, the new friend, over for dinner, and they were playing Scrabble with Madison, and she had gone upstairs to go to bed, Madison did, and Kathy walked him out to her car, and while she was briefly outside, this ex entered her condo and was lying in wait for her, and when she came back in, he strangled her, and he moved her body off Rice Canyon and buried her.
And how did you find out?
In the morning, her new friend had come over to take her to breakfast for her birthday, and the door was unlocked. He had knocked and knocked and no answer, so he felt the doorknob and he saw that it was unlocked. So he came in, hesitant to do so since he had not known her that long, but he was concerned because he knew she had a restraining order. So he entered the home and knocked on Madison's door when Kathy wasn't to be found. And Madison got up and started looking and noticed that Kathy's running shoes were there, thinking maybe she had gone on a run, but they were still there because she was training for the Carlsbad half marathon. And her cell phone was missing. Her purse was still there. So she called us and she said, "Nana, where's Mommy?" And that just was alerting to me because we all knew that she had a restraining order and she was on lockdown. So I called my husband upstairs and I said, "You got to go over to see Kathy. Something's going on over there and she's missing." So he immediately went over there and called 911 on his way. And I called my son, Michael, to go over there and my daughter, Melissa, to come over. So it was Thanksgiving Day. Everybody was coming to our house anyway. And the Carlsbad Police Department arrived and said, "Well, she's a missing person because it hasn't been 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
My husband said there was no way Kathy would leave Madison. And then he had told him that she has a restraining order, and that just unleashed everything. They immediately got on it. They were amazing. And they had dogs in the canyon looking for her. They had set up a team to look for her. It was Thanksgiving Day, so a skeleton crew. People were coming on from every possible, even Orange County came in to help to find Kathy. And immediately Ryan got a phone call from this person, the ex, and he said, "You don't think I had anything to do with this, do you?" And Ryan said, where is she? So it just kind of was that all day long cat and mouse. But they ended up arresting him the next day for first-degree murder. Hmm. They did not have Kathy, but he was arrested for first-degree murder. And when he was arrested, he had a ticket to Mexico in his pocket. So they were not letting him go, and they just kept, you know, there was an amount of time that they could hold him before
right.
they have to
right.
let him go. So they went for it without a body, and after interrogating him for a while, he ended up saying, I know where she is, but I didn't do it. So they did find Kathy. He led them to her, and she was found in a shallow grave off Rice Canyon Road. And from there, it was just months of, you know, everything you have to go to prepare for a murder trial, because that's what we thought we were facing.
You mentioned Ryan. Is that your husband?
My husband's Ryan,
okay.
Yes.
What's the mission of Kathy's Legacy Foundation?
Well, after Kathy's murder, the family was devastated. We really didn't know what to do. We just felt such a loss. Nothing was the same without her. And I was went back to work. I was teaching first grade. I went back to work, and that day that I went back, I received a phone call from Channel 10 saying, what do you think about this bill proposed by Senator Waso, AB 2467? I had no idea what she was talking about. She suggested I watch TV that night, watch the news, so I did. And he was at a press conference saying that enough was enough, and after the death of the Carlsbad mother, that he was proposing this bill to put teeth behind a restraining order. And I was sitting there watching TV going, oh, my gosh, that's my Kathy he's talking about. And the next day I got a phone call from Senator Waso's office asking me to stand behind the bill and to help pass it. So I found, as a mother, definitely needing something to do for Kathy. I just wanted to do something for her. I just didn't know what I could do. So for all the Kathys I didn't know, it just seemed the right thing to do. So I spent that year doing anything and everything to help pass the bill. And that year, in September of 2012, it was signed into law. AB 2467 was signed into law, and they named it Kathy's Law.
So how many years ago is it that your daughter died?
Kathy was murdered in 2011, and the bill passed on its first time through in 2012.
And how did that feel for you and the family?
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. Amazing. I actually got a phone call from Phil Blauer from Fox. He was at Fox. I mean, at 8 at the time, Channel 8. And he said, hey, congratulations. And I was like, what are you talking about? He said, it's on the news that the bill passed. I was so excited. I was yelling through the house and said, you know, told Madison. And we had kept Madison out of the public eye. She had never been out. We didn't want her interviewed or anything because she was only 13. But I told her she was so happy, and I said, I asked her if she wanted to speak at the press conference, and Madison spoke for the first time at the press conference.
Nice.
She was very brave, thanked everybody for supporting the law, and it meant a lot to her for all the other families out there. She had actually written a letter herself to Governor Brown asking him to support it for all the kids like her. And it passed. We were very proud of it. And Madison's very proud. She wants to be an attorney someday, and she knows that she'll be reading about her mom's bill in her law book, so it's pretty cool.
So what does the bill do?
So it allows a judge to order an electronic monitoring device on a perpetrator of domestic violence in conjunction with a restraining order. So it would put teeth behind that restraining order. Kathy came home with her restraining order. She was waving it in the air saying, today I am empowered. She wasn't empowered. It was just the opposite. 7 days later, she was murdered.
Hmm.
So it would allow the judge to put a restraining electronic monitoring device.
So you started this organization after Kathy's Law.
After Kathy's Law was passed, I was literally driving down from Senator Waso's office home, and I felt, I'm not done. I just felt Kathy say so vividly, Mom, you have a voice now. Use it, Mom. I truly heard her voice, and I came home and wondered, what does that look like? Because I'm teaching first grade. And what does that look like to a first grade teacher? And I just knew that I was being called to do something else. I had taught 18 years in first grade, loved those kids, just couldn't love them more. But just the mission was now to do something else. So I spoke to my son, Michael, and who serves now as secretary of Kathy's Legacy. And I said, what do you think, Michael? And Michael said, how about a nonprofit in Kathy's name and help other kids like Madison? And so we started talking, and Kathy's Legacy was born.
Now, I understand that Kathy texted you just prior to her death?
Yeah, just before her murder, she had texted me and said, "Hey, Mom, God put me on this earth to make a difference. Watch me make a difference." And I so wanted to have that come true. Kathy made a difference just by being here. She was an amazing young lady. She had such visions for herself, dreaming. She dreamt about, and nothing was impossible. She just had such dreams, and she wanted to own her own business, which she ended up doing, and took such good care of Madison. And she was the team mom, the room parent, the volunteer Spanish teacher at her school. She just really was wanting to see who she could help and how she could do it. And I, passing Kathy's Law, I wanted her to know she made a difference. So I had the engraver go back and inscribe on the back of her headstone, "Kathy's Law, you made a difference." So I hope she knows that she's making a difference every day, because people say, "I never knew Kathy, but I feel like I've met her somehow. I know her."
And again, she wasn't physically abused until she was murdered.
Right.
And that's the thing, too, that a lot of people don't understand, that domestic violence or domestic abuse is not always a physical thing.
Right. It's financially, emotionally,
right,
verbally. And I often would like victims to think about not minimizing those harsh words, not minimizing the verbal and emotional abuse, because in a heartbeat, literally, it changes.
It can escalate.
It can escalate quickly. And it went from emotional and verbal abuse to stalking to murder.
Right. And in a very short time.
In a week. She was gone from him 10 months. Life was good. But as soon as she went on with her life, when she was ready, then it was a week.
What's Kathy's Village?
Kathy's Village is a dream of Kathy's legacy, to one day have an all-inclusive village for victims of domestic violence, including their pets, to come and get all the care and need that they have to move forward with their lives safely and not have to go around the county looking for that help. It would be all in one center.
Okay, and this isn't something that's up and running as of yet.
No, it is. It's a dream that will come true.
One day.
One day. Right. I used to say, I hope I live to see it, but I'm positive I will live to see it.
Oh, great. And this is going to be a pet-friendly.
Oh, totally pet-friendly. Absolutely.
And we're going to talk with Nina in just a minute here about the effects that domestic violence has on pets.
You're right.
But first, you have a couple of programs that I want to touch on. One is the Silver Lining program. Tell us about that.
Silver Lining is a program for children of domestic violence homicide. They lost a parent, just like Madison, our daughter, lost Kathy. And as we were taking care of Madison, we wondered, where are all these other kids? Where are these children like her? No one was tracking. No one was calling to say, hey, how is she doing? Is she getting the therapy she needs? Is she healthy? And so it just became, I want to know where those children are. So I started with Rady's Children's Hospital, and they helped me find out that, you're right, Jenny, these kids are not tracked. And so we partnered with Rady's to help children going through domestic violence right as we speak, getting the right participation in therapy, getting the transportation they need to be there, anything they need as far as therapy equipment. And then I still wanted to know, where are the Madisons in this world? I knew that we had taken care of the Kathys, you know, as much as we could with Kathy's Law. Where are the Madisons? Mm-hmm. And so we partnered with the district attorney's office, and they obviously have records of the murders that happen, and they introduce us to families that are in need. So it's by need, when they see a case that really could use some extra help. And so then we meet with the families, they make the introduction, and I work with the DA's office to keep them in touch with what we're doing. And we meet the needs of those families, whether it's dental, orthodontic, just food, clothing. We know what it's like firsthand, what it is takes to raise a teen when you're a grandparent. I mean, we got Madison when she was 13, and we're, you know, I'm approaching 70, and my husband's in his 70s. So it's a big undertaking for a couple that has planned retirement and now is raising a teenager, especially a 13-year-old. So these families, though, they are getting more than one. You know, some of these families have three grandkids, and they're in their 80s, and they're raising, this one family has three little girls, and the oldest is in high school. The youngest is probably second grade now. So it's quite an undertaking. And so we help them financially in any way we can. And then we have a generous donor who helps with the kids being able to all get together so they know they're not alone. I've learned a lot from Madison that I may be going to a school with 1,700 kids, but I'm alone because no one else can say my mom was murdered. So that's something that we understand kids go through. And so our Madison was really blessed by a community. Cathedral Catholic gifted her an education. The orthodontics from Great Smiles gifted her a smile that you can't even replace. That smile is amazing. And so when we saw that happening, I thought, I want that for all those other kids out there, for all these children just like her. I want that for them. And so we created Silver Lining to give them hope and some healing and happiness. And we've been able to take them because of a generous donor. They all got together and had a really fun time at the bowling alley and had pizzas and sodas and bowled and got to know each other. And then we did recently a whole day at the San Diego Zoo and private tour. And it was really fun for the kids to all share that together. And we hope to do more during the summer with them and get them all together. They're looking forward to it now.
That's great.
So that they have that bond together, mm-hmm. not having to say a word,
right.
but they know they're Silver Lining kids. And it gives Kathy's legacy such great joy. I know Kathy knows that she's with us every day being a part of that.
And what's Lady's legacy now? Lady was Kathy's dog, right?
Right. Lady was a yellow lab. She was Kathy's rescue. Kathy rescued Lady as a puppy, and I often said to Lady, Kathy rescued you. Why didn't you rescue Kathy? Because she witnessed Kathy's murder. She was the only witness to the murder. And so we adopted, you know, we took not only Madison, of course, but Lady. And this was a yellow lab that I really wasn't excited about shedding all over my house, but we love Lady. We had to put her down about a year ago. It was just so heartbreaking to let that little piece of Kathy go. But she was definitely impacted by it. You could see her demeanor change from this fun-loving little dog to big dog, I should say, to putting her head down, looking very sad. She would stare at Kathy's picture on the table, and everybody was amazed. We know, I don't think they see that picture, but she just had her head laying on this table, just staring at that picture of Kathy. And she was just very, very quiet. And so we know that she knows Kathy's gone.
Right. Well, that's, and I think she knows what she was looking at.
I want to think so, but things that I've experienced losing Kathy, some people would go, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, really. You do hear their voices if you listen. And so so it was very important for us, okay, how about the pets? Because we have Lady, and what about the pets that are being abused because of domestic violence? And that's when we partnered with the Humane Society, feeling like that's a great match to do something for all the ladies out there that need to be protected from domestic violence and the women that need to have their pets go with them. They need that. They can't take them with them to shelters right now, but we hope to make that change.
And again, so this is a new partnership with the San Diego Humane Society. And Nina, tell us about the program. And you haven't launched it yet. You're launching a domestic violence program.
Yeah, so we're in the beginning stages. We're so lucky to have partnered with Kathy's Legacy for this. San Diego Humane Society wants to serve as a safety net for all people and their pets. And being able to support any person who's in a domestic violence situation is really important, because if they are in an abusive home, they probably don't want to leave their pet behind. And right now, nationwide, there's only about 3% of shelters that allow pets. So that's a staggering number. And we want to be sure that people in abusive situations feel like they have somewhere to go and they can bring their pets, or they could take their pets somewhere where they know that their pets will be safe. But our ultimate goal is to keep the pets and the person together, because they're friends.
Right. It's family.
It's family, yeah. And as Jeannie was saying, you know, Lady knew when Kathy was gone because they were best friends. So there's really that bond between the human and their dog, mm-hmm. in this case.
And isn't it true that When animals in a home are abused or neglected, it's a warning sign that others in the household may be in danger.
Yeah, there's a big statistic that oftentimes up to 70% of the cases, the abuse starts with the animal to kind of get that power and emotional, you know, further inflict emotional harm on their intended victim. So they take it out on the animal, and the animal is, you know, helpless in a different way because they don't have a voice. They can't leave.
So what can people do when they're in a situation like this, aside from leaving? Is there any advice, other advice that you would have?
Well, our advice, as we begin this research on how we can help victims of domestic violence, we're really looking to educate our staff on signs when they bring in, you know, their pets. Are they just bringing in their pet to relinquish their pet, or is there something more to it where we can advise further support, like a safety center, or reaching out to them to ask, you know, what's really going on? What's really the reason why you're relinquishing your pet? And we also really want to be there and try to keep families and pets together. So do you just need support? Do you need food? Do you need vaccines? Do you need medical care? What's the reason why you can't stay with your pet? And we have a wonderful program called Pause San Diego, where we're trying to keep pets and their families together, may it be, you know, a domestic violence situation, or if they're suffering from homelessness, or maybe they're just homebound. So we have this safety net where we really try to keep people with their pets regardless of the situation. And so it's exciting to start with to start exploring with this domestic violence task force with the generous donation from Kathy's Legacy of $20,000 that we got on April 22nd. We had a press conference to announce it, and it's really the start of us getting at the table, you know, being part of San Diego City Council's domestic violence committees, and exploring other options for what we can do to support.
And I think that's something people don't think about also when they think about domestic violence or abuse when there's a pet involved. What that does to the pet, what that does to the owner of the pet too.
Yeah, they don't want to leave. You know, if they can't take their pet with them, they don't want to leave, and they don't want to leave their pet behind in a potentially abusive situation. So absolutely.
So they end up staying in that abusive situation.
So they end up staying in a bed.
To protect their pet.
Exactly.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. Now you have a big event coming up in October, right?
Right. It's October's Domestic Violence Month. So on October 5th, we have an event at the Vault in Miramar. It's a huge event space right off of Dowdy, and it's going to be a culinary experience. So we'll have different restaurants from San Diego giving tastings, and we'll have music and entertainment, and just a really fun night of dancing and good times.
And what time does it start?
It starts at 6 to 11, and Phil Blauer is our host, our MC that night, and we'll have a silent auction. And it's a purple theme, so we're going to have a purple flair to everything we're doing. So think purple.
Okay.
The tickets are on sale at kathyslegacy.org right now. We've got an early bird special running right now to just kick off the sales.
Okay,
so
and all the money raised goes right back into Kathy's Legacy.
Yes, all the money will go back to our programs, Silver Lining and Ladies Legacy.
Okay, and do you have other events throughout the year?
We'll have a Best Friends and Brew event with the Humane Society, but we have not got a date yet, so keep posted.
Okay, and information about that will be
on
your
the website and our Facebook.
Yeah,
Kathy's Legacy Facebook.
Do you get funding from, do you get state or federal funding or
we
anything
do no,
like that?
No state or federal funding. We haven't even pursued that. We have just generous San Diego donors, just wonderful people that see that these silent underserved victims of domestic violence need us and have reached out to help those children and now the pets of domestic violence.
And if somebody wants to help you with your mission and make a donation, can they do that at your website?
They can go on, you know, if they want to volunteer or they want to submit to hear our, get our newsletter or donate, they can go to kathyslegacy.org and check us out, yeah.
Okay, again, your Reviving Hope event is October 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Times again?
6 to 11.
Okay, and tickets are available at your website.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the purple.
Well, anything
purple
that has
flare
to do with food, I'm always
Hayes, plenty of good food for sure. And we have snake oil cocktails. It's a mixologist coming to do some specialty cocktails. One will be named after Kathy.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know what we'll name it, but it'll be something that she used to like. So.
All right. Well, great. Jenny and Nina, thank you so much for being on the show today and for all you do in the community through Kathy's Legacy Foundation and through the San Diego Humane Society. Also, thank you for sharing your story. I know it wasn't easy.
Thank you for having us today.
Thank you.
And you are making a huge difference in the lives of many.
Kathy is. Thank you.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Join me next week when my guest will be from the Hope to Canine Foundation. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.